He's beaten. I'm going to read just three verses from the Bible. This is Hebrews chapter 11, and it's the first three verses, which quite conveniently fit on the screen in one go. So you can either follow using a Bible or follow the words that are on the screen. So this is what it says in Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Let's bow our heads and let's pray before we have a few thoughts from those verses. Father, we thank you that you speak to us from your Bible, the Word, and we pray that we would listen this morning and see its relevance for our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to switch onto my PC, please, and there's audio on this. I'm going to play you a very short introduction to a television program I used to watch when I was about 8 years old. Now, remember, I came from the country, so it's probably going to be something like Old MacDonald's. Well, we're going to see. So here we go. Wow. Hands up. Anyone going to admit to watching that? Oh, look at this. Oh, wow. It's a landslide. Everyone's putting their hands up. Incredible. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. For those of you who haven't seen it, you could probably go onto YouTube and look it up or something. And the basic storyline is some turtles got infected with some mutagen from Dimension X. And as a result, they became these teenagers that were trained by their sensei Splinter, who is half man, half rat. Yeah, weird. And anyway, the turtles are fighting against Splinter's arch enemy, Shredder, and also waiting for an alien invasion at any time from Dimension X. Now, sorry to burst anybody's bubble this morning. Just maybe you might just want to close your ears for a moment. It's not true. It's made up. Who is it that makes this stuff up? It's just great, isn't it? I don't know where they get their imagination from. But one of the things that I think is really interesting about turtles, and also many other films and books, is this idea that writers put into the storyline of there being another dimension. I mean, there are loads of films and books we could mention that have an extra dimension or another world where people come from. And in the Turtles, there is this Dimension X, and they're trying to fix a portal which will allow them to get to Dimension X. And I think the reason why film writers and directors and authors put things like that in films is because it gains some traction in our hearts. Deep down in our hearts, we know that there is more to life than just this planet. Deep down inside of us, somewhere, we have this acknowledgement that there is more to life than this. And I think that's why millions, if not billions of pounds, are spent on these sort of films, and also millions, if not billions of pounds, are spent on space exploration as well, to try and find some life from somewhere else. Well, I'm going to tell you something now, which is no longer fiction. I'm going to tell you something now, which is fact. We have access to a portal that allows us to access a different dimension. That is such an important thing. I'm going to say it twice. We have access to a portal that allows us to view a different dimension. That is a key thought I want all of us to take away with us this morning. What is that portal? Well, that portal is this book I have in front of me, the Bible. The Bible is a book that tells us about a different dimension. And even more than that, the Bible tells us about a person from a different dimension. And when I say a different dimension, I'm not talking about Yorkshire. I'm not talking about the Wirral. I'm not talking about Munich or Hamburg or even Sydney, Australia. I'm not talking about the moon or Pluto or the other side of the sun or a different galaxy altogether. This other dimension is just a different realm altogether. And this other realm, the person we hear about from that realm, is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Earlier we read from Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. I just want to concentrate on just that third verse. It said in that verse, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. That verse ought to expand our horizons exponentially. It tells us that the universe, what you can see under a microscope, what you can see out of the window, what you have in your garden, the universe, everything we see around us was made by somebody that is not visible. Someone we cannot see. What the Bible is telling us is that desire that we have in our hearts, or that thing we have in our hearts deep down that just wants us to believe there is more to life than this, the Bible is telling us that our hearts are right. In fact, the Bible tells us that God has set eternity in the hearts of men. So God has placed that desire in our hearts for something more than this life. But also, this verse, verse 3, tells us something else. It tells us that we are the product of the creation of a loving God. So the person from this other realm, God, created our realm, our world. And also, now I'm going to have to explain this, by implication, the other realm is more important than ours. What do I mean? Well, if you do a painting, who is greater, the artist or the artist's creation? Of course, it's the artist. If you design something, maybe a spaceship or anything, you are greater than what you've made. You can't pass on what you don't already have. So you can't pass on to someone more knowledge than you possess. And in the same way, when God makes this world, that means that he is more important, more significant, greater than the world which he creates, which means we need to make getting to know God our top priority. It's more important than what we do in this realm. Now, this is where it gets even more exciting, because some people might think, well, that's easy to say, but how do you know it's true? And this is where it gets really, really cool, because the proof of all that is the fact that somebody came from the other dimension. The Lord Jesus came from that realm and entered into the physical realm which he had created. And people could walk up to Jesus and talk to him. People could go and eat a meal with Jesus. They could go and physically touch him because he was right there in front of him. Now, the problem for us, of course, is Jesus isn't here today. We believe that Jesus died, rose again, and ascended into heaven. But we believe the Bible is the way that we now get to know Jesus better. Everything we need to know about Jesus is recorded for us in the Bible. And God, by his Spirit, speaks into our hearts as we read the Bible or hear it being explained. What do I mean by that? It sounds a bit strange. Well, what that means is when you're listening to the Bible being explained, or when you're reading it, when God's Spirit speaks to our hearts, it means it comes with a real deep conviction. In our hearts, we just know that what is being said is true because it comes with such power and such force. That's what it means for God to speak to us through the Bible. Now, I wonder this morning if you believe what I've said or not. Let me tell you what it will look like if you believe this is a portal allowing us to access another realm. It will mean that you'll spend time reading it. If you truly believe that there is a God who is in another realm, he's also all around us as well, but if you believe this book tells us about him, you will spend time reading it to get to know him better because you want to believe Jesus better. Now, if you don't believe it's true, you'll not open your Bible. You'll leave it on the shelf. It'll just gather dust. Because why would you read it? You don't believe it's true. Your actions show what you believe. Let me close with a closing illustration. A man went to a shop and he bought a brand new petrol-powered strimmer for tidying up the garden. What a proper bloke present or bloke purchase that is. He went and he got this strimmer and he'd used like a petrol lawnmower before. And by the way, this isn't a true story. It's not me I'm talking about here, just to put you out of your misery. And he goes and he gets it and he's used petrol engines before, so he doesn't even bother reading the instruction manual. He fills it up with some petrol, pull starts it, and away he goes. Starts to trim the grass around the side of the lawn, and he makes the garden absolutely immaculate. This went on for a couple of years. But at the end of the second year, in fact, it was the beginning of the third year, he went to get his strimmer out of his shed. And he went to pull start it, and nothing happened. He tried and he tried, and this strimmer simply would not work. So he thought, wait a minute, I'm sure I've got somewhere an instruction book gathering dust. And he went and he got it down from the shelf. And in this instruction book, he began to read and he realized he'd not been putting the right mixture of fuel into the engine. He also read that he'd not been greasing the bearings properly. And he thought, oh no, I'm in a load of trouble now, it's broken. But then he remembered. When he bought his strimmer, he managed to negotiate a 5-year warranty. He thought, phew, I'm safe. So he goes back to the shop, and the shopkeeper says, how can I help you? He said, I bought this strimmer from you a couple of years ago, but it doesn't seem to be working. Here's my receipt. I've got an extended warranty. The man scratched his head. He says, this never happens to these sorts of strimmers. Were you following the instructions? The man said, no. The shopkeeper said, do you not see in the instructions it says it's supposed to take certain fuel? You're supposed to grease the bearings. In fact, you're even supposed to take the spark plug out during the winter months. Because you've not done that, your warranty is void, and as a result, I cannot help you. Now, some of us have neglected the Bible. We've not even given it a second thought. It's there gathering dust on our shelf. And maybe there's become a point in our life when life's not been going too well and we've gone and got the Bible out and started to read it. We've started to see how we don't live up to God's standard. Now, what happens when we go and speak to God? So if God's like that shopkeeper and we walk in and say, I've made a right mess of my life, what does God say? Does he say, well, let's have a look at the Bible. I tell you that you should put me first. I tell you that you shouldn't lie. I say all these different things, and because you've not kept what the book says, sorry, the warranty's void, I cannot help you. No, that's not what God says. God says, I'm glad you've come to me. Let me tell you about my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who took all those wrong things that you have done on himself so that you can find forgiveness and you can now be my friend. Isn't that great? God isn't like that shopkeeper that just writes us off and says, sorry, warranty void. He says, because of my great love for you, if you seek me with all your heart, humbly come to me, I will transform your life and I will give you life everlasting despite all the things that you have done in your past. Now, for those of us who have come to recognize that Jesus is Lord, we must see the importance of following the book that God has given us. because through this book we learn about the one from the other realm. We learn how he wants us to live in this life, and he helps us to make our priority the things that we should have as our priority. So I trust and hope that you will use the Bible as your guide so that you'll get to know God better, but also know how to experience true everlasting life. Let's bow our heads and let's pray before we sing our final song together. Father, we thank you for the most precious gift possible. No, not the Bible, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that through the Bible, we get to find out about him. Help us to spend time reading the word so that we get to see how amazing Jesus is, how he loves us, and how he died so that we can know you. Help us all to place our trust in you and decide to live for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.